Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And as I always say to you, I hope it is food. I hope it can help you, because the Word of God has infinite power to change our lives. It really does. It's not just a word on any page that we read. It's God. So please, please listen carefully. And we read today from the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 3, verses 25 and then verses 34 to 43. Azariah stood up in the fire and prayed aloud, "For your name's sake, O Lord, do not deliver us up forever or make void your covenant. Do not take away your mercy from us. For the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, your holy one, to whom you promised to multiply their offspring like the stars of heaven or the sand on the shore of the sea. For we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation. We're brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sins. We have in our day no prince, no prophet or leader, no burnt offering, sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruits, to find favor with you. But with contrite heart and humble spirit, let us be received, as though it were burnt offerings of rams and bullocks, or thousands of fat lambs. So let our sacrifice be in your presence today, as we follow you unreservedly. For those who trust in you cannot be put to shame. And now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you. We pray to you. Do not let us be put to shame, but deal with us in your kindness and great mercy. Deliver us by your wonders and bring glory to your name, O Lord." Brothers and sisters, do you trust your whole life with God? Do you entrust it to God? Do you open your heart to him every day and say, "Lord, I belong to you. Please help me today to live with kindness and generosity and peace, no matter how difficult the situation may be." Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to draw close. He wants to be with us in our daily lives. And many people never even think of him. And he's the most important person in your life. Doesn't mean you have to be praying all the time. You might be going to a party. But just say, "Lord, I give you this time, and I hope that you're glorified by our joy," or whatever the case may be. If we have to go to a funeral, "Lord Jesus, walk with us. Give us peace. Give us courage. Give us hope." Whatever the case may be. But God wants us near to him. And he won't force himself on us. He could, but he doesn't. He waits for us. How many years has he waited for you to come to him? Answer that question for yourself, and then take it to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me. Help me." It doesn't mean you have to be talking to the Lord all the day. It just means as you go to one responsibility to another to say, "Lord, help me with this, whatever this may be." Or if it's a time of fun and happiness, "Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this blessing." Whatever the case may be, God wants to join us in our lives. And when we do, he's very good to us. "Remember your mercies, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your kindness are from of old. In your kindness, remember me because of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way." Humble doesn't mean you have to kneel and grovel on the ground, but it's just turning to the Lord, saying that you're not the best person in the world. You don't have all the answers. just saying, Lord, help me, give me wisdom, give me hope before you enter any meeting at all, whatever the case may be. Lord, give me help here. And that is being truly humble, and God will bless you. And now we take a look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus answered, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount, and he seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. That's a pretty powerful reading, brothers and sisters. If you forgive your brother, if you forgive your brother from your heart, so God will forgive you. How many of us allow grudges and pain and whatever the case may be go on for years inside of us, and then we never speak to the person, we never look to them? I urge you to do something courageous. I urge you to go to the Lord and say, Lord, please give me strength and wisdom. And then go to the person who did ill to you, and you say to that person, I forgive you for what you did for me. Think of what that might mean. But you have to speak from the heart. You have to mean it. This enemy of yours becomes a friend if he accepts you. Turn to him and say, Lord, please, please help me. Help me to overcome my own pride. Help me to overcome my own anger. Whatever the case may be, just go to that person. And it might take a lot to get it out of your mouth, but to be able to say to that person, I love you, or I care for you, and you were once my friend. Would you please forgive me? Would you please forgive me for what I have done? Brothers and sisters, we want to open our hearts to the Lord. He wants us to forgive one another, and we have to do it many times in our life. If we're not willing to do that, we've got too much pride in us, and if we die with that, we'd be a long time in purgatory at least. So please, brothers and sisters, come before the Lord and say, Did I forgive everybody who's hurt me? when they ask for forgiveness. Even if they didn't ask for forgiveness, go to them and say, I just want to tell you I forgive you for what you did to me. Even to do that, it's a strong courage, and it takes a lot of faith. But if you do it, you may be really surprised at the response that you get. Oftentimes the person says, I so wanted to talk to you, but I didn't know what to say or do. We never know what it's going to be. But so many times I've seen relationships healed, reconciled, and become strong again because one was able to ask forgiveness of the other, and the other was able to receive it and thank him or her. Please open your hearts. I just want you to know, Mary Healy, who's a professor of sacred scripture, has said this: perhaps the greatest block to healing is underlying unforgiveness of another person. Jesus directly linked the efficacy of prayer to our willingness to forgive. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Unforgiveness closes our heart to God's grace. Brothers and sisters, this is how unforgiveness functions for us. We have a hard time receiving God's free gift of mercy, so we begrudge giving away mercy to others. We hold on to being justified in our anger, being right and keeping others in the wrong. But there is a high price to pay for such mercilessness. The parable ends with the master delivering the wicked servant to the jailers for tortures until he should pay all his debt. Those who hold on to grudges are indeed subject to torture interiorly, and they risk the eternal pain of separation from God. They keep themselves imprisoned in worse bonds than the person they resent. Just say a prayer of forgiveness out loud. For instance, I forgive my boss for putting so much pressure on me that I became stressed out. I forgive my mother for criticizing me. We do not need to know with certainty whether the other person is guilty before God or not. That is God's affair. To forgive is to set ourselves free and to allow God's mercy and healing to overflow in us. That is written by Mary Healy, who I said is a professor of scripture and a member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission. May God just abundantly open our hearts when they're hard. When we say, I'm not going to ever speak to that person again, you don't want to die with that. Yeah, but you don't know what he did. Doesn't matter what he did. There comes a time when we all need to forgive. Please, brothers and sisters, amen.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.